Welcome to Hour 2 of Maritime Morning on Sunday, July 7th. I'm Scott Simpson. You're an hour away from hearing The Weekend Gardener with Nikki Jabor. Nikki is smart about not just plants, but I think she knows a bit about bugs that are live around plants, too. We saw these weird-looking things in our backyard on the back deck, little black bugs with a rectangle of reddish-orange brush-looking things on the back. So I sent pictures to Nikki and asked, what on earth are these things? She says they are ladybug larvae, like pre-ladybugs, young ladybugs. These things will turn into ladybugs. I said, what? You sure? She's like, yeah, nothing to fear. I said, we have a lot of them. She says, good. Ladybugs are good. We're going to take that as a good luck sign. So stick around for 11 o'clock when Nikki Jabor will have The Weekend Gardener. A great program to listen to, even if you don't know anything about gardening, because I guarantee you will at the end of it. Another expert in his field is Roger Haino from Tax Filers. Hey, Roger, how's your week been?
Brutal.
Why?
There must have been girl bugs.
Girl bugs?
As opposed to ladybugs.
Ladybugs?
Pretty lame.
Young woman?
Yeah, no, I'll move right along. No, I've had a brutal week. I think I've seen every institution but the fire department.
What?
As you recall, I was supposed to be in Manhattan last weekend.
Yeah?
And boy, even the best plans, you know,
well,
late.
I know that last weekend we were supposed to not talk to you, and then it looked like we were going to talk to you, and then it looked like we were not going to talk to you again.
Well, I never ended up in Manhattan.
No.
I ended up in Ontario visiting my children. So I have to tell you, it's been a week that has been surreal. Open the dictionary definition for surreal, and I'm telling you, there's my picture. I was talking to somebody, and I said to them near the beginning of the week, last week, 2 weeks ago, I said, "Do you have any money available on your line of credit?" What do you mean? Well, do you have some money? Well, why? I said, well, because I have something I want to do with it. And then right away they went into defensive mode and said, well, I need to clear this. But I remember, you know, this person's a nice person who continues to talk to me about wanting to invest. And at the time, and she's a fashionista, so I remember talking when Coach was, like, this is years ago now, Coach handbags were, like, way down. And Coach is a fantastic stock story. So anyway, I never mentioned to her who I was thinking of, and I'm not going to mention it on air. But who I'm thinking about is going to, I believe, quadruple in the next 18 months. And I wanted to kind of get her into it. But that week just went kind of south. And before you knew it, I wasn't in Manhattan, you know, because the kids were, my daughter in Ontario was calling, and Dad, I haven't seen you for a while, and come on down. And so down I go, and I'm visiting with my parents, and one thing leads to another, and, you know, family dinner is Sunday. You know, we get through that, and then Jen is, and Dan are like, come on to Ottawa, Dad, come see us. You know, and I'm a bit of an idiot because I actually think I'm better than I am. So she plays on a company ball team, and they were short a player. And one of the people that play on her team is pro. I was a former pro. So Dad was short a guy, so I went out. And, you know, I'm cheering the crowd and doing my thing. And, you know, I have a pretty good game going. But I didn't get much of a warm-up. And I was at bat. And I hit a ball that wasn't in my wheelhouse. I didn't get the best of it. And, of course, she's there telling all these people before I get there, my dad is fantastic. Like, he used to be in home run derbies and watch him park him. So I've got this thing rolling in my head, and I'm thinking, holy mackerel, I just driven this ball back at the pitcher, and this is an easy play. So I hoofed it out, and as I took out of the batter's box, I tore my hamstring.
Oh, no!
So down I go in a heap of old man, and as I'm landing, I put my hands out to catch myself. Uh-oh. Well, my left hand, I've broken my wrist twice before and dislocated my thumb. And my right hand has had its wrist broken at once, its thumb dislocated once, a couple knuckles broken, and the hand's been broken a couple times. So so it caught me, but it didn't fully catch me, and so my head smacked the ground and my eyes pooled with water.
Roger.
So, of course, in the best Don Cherry tradition, I pick myself up off, and I can't walk, of course. Like, my leg is, like, dead. I can't walk, and people are coming around, and I'm like, no, I'm okay, and, like, get lost and get out there. And so, they're all worried, and they want to stop the game because they're thinking, oh my God, he's everything but dead. So, anyway, I go stand there, and I said to my daughter, I said, I've got to call 911. And if I've got to go to the hospital, like, it's bad news, because I never go. But I stood there leaning on a bleacher trying to stretch my leg out. And anyway, I called 911, and I wouldn't let them come to the field because I was embarrassed enough. And the field was in a ravine. So with all these injuries, I walked up by myself out of the ravine and hailed an ambulance as if you were hailing a cab. I get into the ambulance, and, you know, buddy's looking at me and says, oh yeah, it's bad. He said, do you hurt anywhere else? And I don't know if you know this, but you can only hurt in one place at one time. So as I stabilized my leg, I said, yeah, my arm, shoulder's a little sore. Well, so we get to the hospital, and, now they got in the meds. And sure enough, you know, it's a soft tissue injury, which means you can't tell if they're torn or pulled. But
oh, yeah.
It's soft tissue. It's not x-rayed. It's MRI usually. So I said, you know, I think my arm is sore, too. And I knew I'd done damage. And the doc says, no, I think it's only a sprain. And I said, well, I think you better get the Polaroid out and take a few photos. So, you know, he comes back and he says, you're right. You know, you broke your arm. You broke your arm at your elbow. I said, well, I'm in pain. So, and I still had to drive around, you know, because I'm down there effectively on vacation. And I didn't want to tell him because they would have, like, put me in the hospital for good. But when I landed on my left one, because I broke my wrist before, I know what it feels like, and it was going black. So I was hiding it. So here I am. I've got a broken left wrist. I've got a broken right arm. And now finally, in the past, I'm going to say day or two, the blood is now finally leaving my eyes.
Oh, my.
So that there's actual white back.
So you're walking around with your eyes full of blood, your arm all messed up.
So I got to continue on, and then we'll talk business. I know I'm taking up a bit of time, but the story is funny. So here I am. I'm in Ontario. You got to imagine, I'm on crutches for my leg. I'm maneuvering with a broken wrist that is unsupported, and a broken arm that they don't cast anymore. They only half splint them. So I'm a real mess, and then Rob calls. This is my son Rob, the engineer in Halifax, with his partner, Jasmine. And he said, Dad, Jazz's parents are coming up for the weekend. This would be a good time for you to meet them. You've never met them. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, well, if I can. So Rob calls Jen and says, what's up with Dad? I mean, he's met your partner Dan's parents like a multitude of times, and he's like almost blown us off. I said, this is the first time Rob has ever given me an opportunity to meet Jay and Ann, and I'm like 1,000 kilometers away, and I'm not even mobile. Thank God there's four wheels on my car, because other than that, I'd be like, you know, there's no ambulatory involved. So I called him back, and I said, well, Rob, would love to meet them. You talk so highly of them. But I'm only hearing about this now. So then I got in my car, broken, and I've driven for 2 days to get to Halifax. And I met them briefly yesterday, and then we're going out for dim sum or something, you know, this morning. And, so I'm extremely sad because of the way this whole 2 week period has gone.
Yes.
And I'm sure it must be along the line of how BlackBerry feels.
Oh, right. That is the longest intro for a topic I have ever heard.
Well,
Roger, are you on painkillers right now?
I'm going to tell you, what I think I'm going to do is I think I'm going to post you in the middle of the night last night. My stomach's been killing me. So I tore the cast off it, and I'm looking at it now, and there's a significant amount of black and blood and scraping on it. So maybe I'll post you that, and you can either tweet it or put it wherever
Roger,
you want.
Roger, you're a mess.
But I will tell you the BlackBerry story.
Okay, we'll just go to the – we're pretty much out of time.
I'm going to give you two quick stories.
Oh, they got to be quick.
Well, I'm in Ontario. My father is saying to me, BlackBerry is going to do great. They announced, not Friday, but last Friday,
right,
their results. He said, and I'm thinking about getting it. I said, Dad, do you want any BlackBerry shares? And he said, no. I said, Dad, I like BlackBerry as a Canadian story, but I think their day is done. I actually think the value is in the breakup value because they got a bunch of patents that they got from Nortel.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, their secure web server that maybe Google would be interested in. But as a going concern, they've changed their revenue model. And I know there are people who like BlackBerry, but I'm a few years. I never had a BlackBerry, and I'm not an iPhone guy. I'm a few years away. Well, I think I'm going to buy his this. And I said, Dad, I know I used to invest all kinds of people. It's your money. You do whatever you want. So I called him back later and I said, are you sure this is what you want to do? Because, Dad, I'm looking at it. And he said, no, I've already done it. And I said, oh, my God, I'm sorry, Dad. I should not have done this now and kind of said this now that you've committed. But lo and behold, everybody was telling him the results were going to be great. And they were not great.
Yeah.
Because the stock price went from, $14, give or take, to 10. So he sold right away, and, you know, so it didn't add to my nice little vacation with them because it was, you know, my dad's almost 80, and he was, you know, he'll take a loss as good as anybody would take a poke in the chin, but, you know, that happened. And the only kind of shining bright light for Canada, I think, from my point of view, is the U.S. are still whistling by the graveyard with the currency, so they're driving it down. The jobs report was up in the U.S., which frightened the market off because now they think Bernanke is going to turn off the flow. But our star, Mark Carney,
yes,
first week at Bank of England, he said, we're going to do what we did in Canada. We're going to provide forward guidance. So he went in, looked at the interest rate, basically said,
We'll stick with this. Yeah,
we're not changing it. We're not going forward changing it. Like, everybody's in trouble. And so if you notice, the last business pages of the week are all about, the Eurozone is popping up and Portugal needs money from my friend's line of credit so I don't know. But that was, since you've asked what my week was like.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the evidence of my arm, I tell you, my arm is damn sore, and I'm sitting alone trying to figure out how to get it wrapped up again.
Oh, dear.
And I've got a bottle of pain pills, and they make them all childproof, which basically means I can't even get them open. So that was my week.
Roger. Oh, my goodness. You've had such a week.
People could be sadder than me, but they'd have to be working overtime to accomplish it right now. I'm going to get to go and have break bread with Rob and Jazz and Jazz's wonderful parents, Ann and Jay.
Okay, so, well, I hope
that's my upside for the day.
I hope that they will hang out with you some and keep an eye on you today.
I need a lot of keeping an eye on. Like I said, the only institution I didn't see last week was the fire department, but the day is young.
Yeah, well, and you know what? This could all be karmic redemption from suggesting somebody use a line of credit to invest.
Maybe it's more like payback for all the misdeeds I've had over the past 4 or 5 years with that person.
So, oh, boy. I hope the weekend turns out well for you, Roger.
Thanks, buddy. Let's enjoy that sun.
Have a safe week, and gosh, make sure we get to talk to you next week.
Yeah, do you want me to send off that video evidence? I don't know. It's kind of
funny. It might gross people out.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're right. Unless you were thinking that it was the best Hollywood special effect guy saying, how can we make a broken arm look broken?
Yeah. Have a great day, Roger.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you. That's Roger Haino from Tax Filers with his week and business. I don't know how you follow that, but we're going to try with cars next on Maritime Morning.
I hope you just heard our last segment with Roger Hano from Tax Filers. That was the most bizarre business segment I've ever had. One of the weirdest segments I've ever had in the show. One of the weirdest segments I've ever had in the radio ever. I hope Roger's okay today. It sounds like he had a heck of a week, and gosh, I hope he goes easy on those painkillers. And is not driving today. Another awkward transition to a story with Auto Traders, Ian McDonald. Hey, Ian, how are you today?
Hi, I'm very well, thanks. Good morning.
Good morning. So what we're talking about, I understand, is kind of cars Canadians like versus British drivers and Americans. Well, I'm going to guess we like warm cars or what?
Yeah, I think heating is an important factor in Canada. But you're right. I mean, we were interested in trying to understand the differences in car tastes and car experiences from the United States, Canada, and the United Kingdom. So we were looking at data from autotrader.ca in Canada, sites like autotrader.com in the US, and autotrader.co.uk in the UK. And by looking at that data, we were able to kind of see some quite interesting differences, actually, between those three countries.
Oh, really? What are the preferred vehicles in Canada?
Well, it's interesting because although Canada is obviously geographically very close to the United States, and so you'd expect them to have quite similar kind of top fives when it comes to most popular cars and most highly rated cars. In fact, the Canadian preference seems to be kind of a mix between the United States and the United Kingdom. I mean, generally speaking, in the United States, it's much bigger cars. You know, their top five most popular include things like Ford F-150, Chevrolet Silverado, Jeep Wrangler, bigger cars. In the UK, they love the small cars. That's because of, you know, fuel prices. Gas is very expensive over there, and the roads are much narrower. Miles per gallon is more important. So those UK cars are all kind of small hatchbacks. And then in Canada, it's kind of a mix of the two. You see things like the Ford F-150 is the most popular vehicle in Canada, but also in the top five in Canada, you have smaller things like the Honda Civic or the Honda Accord. So Canadian taste is kind of a mix of the two.
Is this anything new? I mean, the idea of Europeans liking smaller vehicles doesn't seem so surprising to me. I never would have expected UK drivers to be fans of pickup trucks.
No, that's right. The UK data is as expected, kind of backs up exactly what you would think. But the main interesting angle on this, I think, is that the Canadian kind of preference is so different to the United States, as I say, because they're very close geographically, and you would expect there to be more similarity there. Also interesting is when we looked at kind of owner reviews data, so that's where you know, the Canadian public have gone on to autotrader.ca, and they rate cars and review the cars that they've driven, and they do similar things in the UK and the States on those sites. When we compare that data, it's interesting as well, because in terms of sort of the highest rated cars, in Canada, they're all kind of mid-sized sedans that are the top five. You know, the Ford Fusion is the highest rated, Audi A4, BMW 3 Series. Again, in the US, it's all SUVs and trucks that they seem to really enjoy. And again, in the UK, it's all hatchbacks. But also interesting is that Canada is the only one of those markets that features Japanese manufacturers quite highly. And obviously, Japanese cars are also popular in the United States and the UK, but in Canada, it's the only market that had a Japanese manufacturer in the top five for the highest rated vehicle by users.
That's interesting stuff. Ian, thanks for sharing that insight with us.
No problem.
And of course, you can always find lots of great auto deals, buying and selling at autotrader.ca.
You can.
Have a great week.
Indeed. Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye. Well, Canada. Things in common with our British heritage and our American friends, from chocolate bars to compact cars. Shared heritage. How about that? Oh, should I open this email, Jen? You just forwarded me this email from Roger. Is this a picture of his arm? Okay, let's see if this picture of Roger's, because we just, oh my, Roger! I'm glad he went to the hospital. Roger Hano shared with us his story of playing baseball while on a visit to his kids and falling. And oh my goodness, Roger. I hope somebody's keeping an eye on him today. Yeah, and if you missed that segment, it'll be up available for download on the website probably around noon. So keep an eye on that. We'll be back after the news with Harv Stewart, a man who knows a thing or two about falling down with baseball. And then we'll talk with Laura Simpson about having concerts in your own house. Yeah, you could be a concert promoter too. All this ahead in the next half hour of Maritime Morning. Later this half hour on Maritime Morning, we will be joined by Laura Simpson. Interestingly enough, she is married to somebody named Scott Simpson. My name is also Scott Simpson. It is a different guy. He is a local filmmaker and talented music video director. She works for Music Nova Scotia. She also puts on concerts at her own house. That's right. Imagine going to a rock show in somebody's living room. We'll talk to her about that later this half hour, and no doubt an interesting conversation. For now, we have an interesting conversation with a man who is interesting every time we have him on, which is every week at this time. His name is Harv Stewart. Good day, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Scott? I'm not going to have a concert at the house today, but that's a heck of an idea.
Wouldn't that be neat? If I've been to her house, too, and I just can't fathom how you could fit musicians and music fans in there, but she'll tell us all about it.
Does she have the, you know, all the Krieg lights and
and the pyro and everything like that?
And what's that with the smoke, you know, the 70 smoke bombs and all that stuff?
And the fog machines and lasers?
Yeah, you got to do that in the backyard, though, and make sure the fire department's around. You got to be careful with all
that. That'd be nice. Hey, that reminds me, I'm going to see Rush next week.
Oh, yes, they are in Halifax, are they not?
Playing in Halifax next Friday and Sunday. I'm hitting the Friday show, and then I'm back in the next morning here on the air at 8 a.m.
Oh, so we're going to have to discuss that for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to be deaf, and I'm probably going to have very little voice, and I'm going to be very tired.
Well, you sound like a huge fan, though.
Yeah, I've been listening to Rush for like 25 years. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, you're a big fan of those guys.
And I've only ever seen them in Toronto. So
I saw them just getting away from sports just for half a sec. But I saw them actually when 2112 album.
Back in 1977 or 76.
Yeah, well, 76, whatever it was. They were opening in Ottawa for ELO.
Really?
Yeah. And they were more or less booed off the stage because it was an ELO audience. The place was packed. There was 10,000 people there. And nobody really knew who Rush was. They knew a little bit, but, you know, that sort of hard rock stuff. And then you got this orchestral sort of ELO thing going on. And people really didn't like it very much, and they more or less booed them off the stage. Yeah, excuse me. But, yeah, it was an interesting night, though. But and they didn't give them, you know, the right equipment and stuff. And it was just white noise, basically. But they've changed a lot since then.
Ottawa, that was the opening night of their tour.
Where was that?
Ottawa, Civic Center, March 2nd, 1976.
Oh, you looked it up already?
Yeah.
Oh, man, you're good, yes.
On that tour, they opened for ELO, Blue Oyster Cult, Aerosmith, and Kansas.
Yes, and various locations, yeah.
But that was the opening night of that tour for them, March 2nd at the Civic Center.
Isn't that something? Yeah. That's when I went, yeah.
And 2112 was the album that turned their career around.
Absolutely.
They had their debut album, and then Neil Peart came on for Fly By Night. That one did well. Caress of Steel was their next album, and kind of sucked, and the tour was horrible, and they nicknamed it the Down the Tubes tour. They got really angry and gave it one more shot, came out with 2112, which was an amazing album, which was just reissued in a 5.1 surround mix last year.
Yeah, and you know, how many of these bands go through this stuff? I mean, it's what they do, you know. But nowadays, it's one hit and a whatever, and see you later, or else you're a boy band or something.
Yeah.
There's a real great rock band.
How many bands?
Well, there are, I shouldn't say that.
How many bands can stick around with the same lineup for 40 years selling out? That's amazing.
That's incredible. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, we do have the weather and sports. This weather has been fantastic. And, of course, it's baseball weather, finally.
It's baseball weather. Yeah. Hockey weather is at least 2 weeks behind us.
Oh, my goodness. But still so much hockey to talk about, Scott.
The draft was last weekend.
Oh, did you follow any of this?
I was.
Big names and whatnot, you know, free agent stuff. There was a lot of activity and stuff that really I hadn't seen a whole lot in the last few years, and quite interesting, and a lot of it. Well, I'm a big Detroit fan, so Alfredson going to the Detroit Red Wings was a big one for me. But if you're a Toronto fan too, of course, picking up David Clarkson, That was a big deal for them. He's a great player from New Jersey, a big power forward, and boy, that's a big pickup for them.
And I saw a lot of talk on Twitter about them re-signing Bozak.
Oh, Bozak too, yes, of course. Tyler Bozak as well. Yeah, that was they had a good day. That's a good day. Last Friday was just crazy time for that free agent sort of madness or whatever they were calling it, frenzy. It was a good day for Toronto for sure. Montreal picked up, actually signed Stephane Fournier, the former Moosehead captain, 21-year-old kid. He's got a 3-year deal with the Montreal Canadiens, I guess, just signed. And he's on a development sort of deal, but he could get to play with them at some point. And, boy, he was a big part of the Memorial Cup win. So, no, that's great. It's all good.
How's baseball's all-star roster shaping up?
Well, I saw some of that. There were a lot of first-year guys, you know. The big thing is Puig. Did you see that? Yusiel Puig, the.
Oh, I didn't know that was. I didn't know that was somebody's name.
Yusiel
Puig.
Yusiel Puig. He's the big name kid with the L.A. Dodgers. Now, I'm not sure. We're gonna have to look this up. I really didn't see that.
Oh, the Cuban defector.
Yes,
he wasn't picked yet.
Oh, he wasn't picked. Yeah, there's all sorts of controversy about him because he'd only played 28 games.
Yeah, he's only had 1 month in the big leagues.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's been tremendous, and a lot of the fans want him there, right? But there's an old traditional guard saying, look, you know, it's not fair leaving guys off that have played an entire season. So there's something to be said for both sides, but you look at it and you say, come on, it's an exhibition game, for goodness sakes. Don't the fans want to see the most exciting player in baseball right now?
Well, that's the thing. That's why the fans are allowed to vote. You can have somebody who's, not a long-term superstar. He can be the Justin Bieber or the flavor of the moment. Let him play once. And if he's a one-hit wonder and we never hear from him again, whatever. He had his day in the spotlight.
Oh, you're going to hear from this guy. He's a great player. But, he should be an add-on. He should be on the team somewhere. And that's ridiculous. In the past, they've had sort of ceremonial players, guys that are in the tail end of careers and that kind of stuff. But in this case, this kid has just really taken off, and he's very, very exciting. And he is the best young player in the major leagues right now. So you kind of think, well, come on, guys, you're shooting yourselves in the foot marketing-wise here. Put the guy in the team.
You're leaving money on the table if you don't put him on the team.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think so, too. Yeah. Back to the hockey for a sec, though.
Yes.
The Alfredson thing and other stuff. I want to talk to you, see what you think about this. What do you think about loyalty in sports?
Any loyalty anymore? Professional sports?
Yeah. You look at a guy like Alfredson, 17 years with one team.
I think loyalty is largely just another marketing thing.
Or is it largely in the pocketbook thing?
Well, that's what I mean. Is loyalty can get you tenure with a team, which can let you demand a higher contract price.
But if you're in Ottawa and you've been a longtime Senators fan, aren't you peeved and pissed this morning or this week about what happened with him? That he should have been signed and been finished his career with the Ottawa Senators.
But who are you going to be
rather than chase the Stanley Cup in Detroit?
Who are you going to be mad at though? The team for not signing him or him for going somewhere else?
Well, yeah, and this has happened before. Ray Bourque did it with the Boston Bruins. He ended up in Colorado. He played with the Bruins, but there wasn't any real sort of rancor with that move. He sort of moved on, and the fans, I think, were sort of happy for him, really. And he went back. He's still a hero in Boston. He's still well-loved. And I hope that when Alfredson goes back to Ottawa, that they're not going to boo him and be stupid about it. And just, they got Bobby Ryan, who came in as a free agent from Anaheim, who's a terrific young player. He's only, like, 27 years old. Big upside for them to get a guy like that. So, I hope Ottawa treats Alfredson with the respect that he certainly deserves for what he gave them and that whole community over his 17 years.
After 17 seasons there, I think he deserves the opportunity to end his career the way he wants.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. But, a lot of these guys are mercenaries, though. There's no question about it. They move from team to team to team. They pocket as much money as they can, and they don't even think about the fans they left. There's a lot of that for sure, but that's agents and whatnot, and they're telling these guys, hey, this is where you're going to make more money. It happens. It's what it is. It's modern sports.
I saw that on Friday, Alfredson jerseys were going 50% off right away. They marked them down in Ottawa.
But, if you could get one of those, get Alfie to sign one of those things, you know how much it would go up?
Well, it would maybe not quite the same as getting a Gretzky Edmonton jersey.
No, but it's worth a few bucks. Yeah, but I can see that happening. You know, it's what it is. Here these guys thought he was going to come back for another season, and you're a sporting goods guy, and you've got like 100 of these things on a rack or something. You want to get rid of them, that's for sure.
Just get them out of there. You know, by now they're probably 75% off.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Another thing we should talk about this morning. I know you have some interest is MMA.
Yeah. I have not watched any MMA probably in a couple of years except for the odd highlight.
Oh, okay. Did you watch the highlights of this film or this film? this fight last night with Silva and geez, you know, that shows you how much I know. Chris Weidman.
No.
He won in the second round of this thing. And the thing was though, Anderson Silva wasn't taking this thing seriously. He's sort of clowning around, and he's sort of dissing this guy in the first round, and he's waving him off and all that. Second round, he puts his hands down, sort of half asleep, and the guy nails him with a short hook or something, and nails him down. He just drops him. And that's it. It's done.
Well, that's the thing. In mixed martial arts, if somebody is within just, you know, a few feet of you, if you drop your hands for just a second or turn your back or look away, all it takes is one shot from somebody who knows what they're doing, and they'll drop you, and that's
it. Well, that's what happened because, you know, in boxing it's different because the guys will back off and whatnot. But this was a short chop, you know, and just knocked him right. It didn't look that bad, but you look at I played it back a few times, and you said, holy smokes. You know, he really nailed him, and he just got him down on the ground and it was all over. But, you know, Silva wasn't taking this very seriously. I guess it's the first of 10 bouts that he's got. He signed to go through and continue. He's 37 years old. Now, I don't know if he'll continue right through the whole 10 bouts, but it seems MMA guys last into their 40s. You know, you got the Liddells of the world and all that stuff. And do you think these guys last longer than, say, the normal Joe?
I would think so. They don't fight as often as, say, football players play.
No.
If they are good at protecting themselves, they don't get hit all that often. It's not like a boxer where you're in there 10 rounds and somebody's punching you in the head for a long time.
Yeah.
If you do well in a fight, like even the longest fight doesn't go very long.
No, they're quite short, and it's not like going 12 rounds or something.
No, and if depending on what style you have, as soon as the other guy starts throwing, you might take him down and take him out with a submission hold, and you're not getting punched. So a lot of the injuries that you'll get are training injuries, not necessarily fighting injuries.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
So you can have perhaps a longer career.
Okay, going from MMA to a more genteel pursuit.
Auto racing?
No. Tennis.
Oh, yes, tennis, yes.
That's on this morning.
A civilized classy
sport.
Right
now as we speak.
That's right.
Men's final at Wimbledon, which is the premier event of the tennis season, is going on this morning. And I'll get back to you in a sec here.
Let me just see who's playing here.
Oh, it's Djokovic.
Djokovic.
Again, Andy Murray from the Great Britain, who, of course, is a huge, massive fan favorite. And, TSN is on, they're having a commercial break right now, so I can't tell you what the score is, but maybe at the end of this segment we can do that. But, that's a great matchup. These guys have played each other like three times in less than a year in majors, and they really go at it. So it should be, I think this should be an interesting day if you're a tennis fan. Do you watch tennis or play it?
No, I think I played tennis once when I was 14, and it was among the many, many, many sports that I clearly had no aptitude for.
Yeah, well, you know, I've tried it a few times. I like playing tennis once in a while. It's fun. It's a great sport, and it's a fun sort of pursuit, like a golf or something. Not a huge fan of watching it, but it seems, you know, when Wimbledon comes on, there's a special magic to that. And same with the U.S. Open. Some of these matches are terrific. These guys are great athletes. There's no question about
it. Did you watch the Daytona double?
No, I didn't. Yes, but Jimmy Johnson won, correct?
Jimmy Johnson won that.
Yes, and that's the first time that a guy has won at Daytona, swept it since 1982, correct?
Correct.
Jeez, I know some stuff.
And the other guy was?
Oh, geez, 82?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Rhymes with Bobby Allison.
What was it? Bobby Allison.
Bobby Allison.
You know what? I got a story for you.
Yeah.
Bobby Allison came here to Scotia Speed World in the Maritimes a few years ago, and I got to interview him. And he was, man, I don't know how old he was at the time, but a bit crotchety and all that, but he was really funny and great, you know, great stories and whatnot. And he was kind of a nice guy once you got to sort of, you know, get over that crustiness and all that. But it was really neat talking to him.
Djokovic leading 3-2 in the first set.
You guys are watching it there, too.
Yeah, well,
I've got it on this.
That's one. The benefit of having a producer.
She's a big fan. Jennifer, right?
Yeah.
Jen's a big fan of, she was running up all sorts of stuff on me on tennis.
Well, we should bring her into the sports discussion next week. Oh, she looks like she enjoys that. Harv, got to run.
Dad.
Yeah, get Wendell in there. That's what,
I tell you what.
That's how I picked up that Bozak tip there.
Let's get Wendell in for the start of, football. Oh, no, he's not a big football fan, though.
No.
Oh, that's too bad. But anyway, we'll have a chat. he'd be a lot of fun to talk. But we can talk hockey with him later on.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Have a terrific time. Don't get too hot out there.
Yeah, stay cool out there, eh?
Yeah. Everybody stay cool. It's, 33 degrees today or something?
Something like that. And stay well hydrated. The drinking water is safe.
They're right telling now. Everybody to sort of take it easy today because it is so hot. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you next week,
right, man. On, Harv.
Great Harv Stewart, talk again.
Harv Stewart is our weekly sports fan without a nickname. We have Laura Simpson lined up next to talk about concerts, house concerts. That's right, a concert in your house next on Maritime Morning. 10:51 on Sunday, the 7th of July. Nikki Jabor should be arriving any minute now to prep for the weekend. There she is. There she is. A bright ray of sunshine on a very hot day. Talking about gardening, Nikki Jabor, Weekend Gardener, is up at 11 o'clock. Okay, I mentioned with Harv a few minutes ago, I'm going to go see Rush at the Metro Center next weekend. That's a big old show. They bring in tractor trailer loads full of gear. Takes them a whole day to set up, I think. And they have lights and lasers and explosions and giant stages and speakers galore. Certainly couldn't fit that in somebody's living room. Laura Simpson is here, and she works with Music Nova Scotia, and she is also, I don't know, could we call you a part-time concert promoter? Because you have you have concerts in your house!
Yeah, promoter. I think that's that might be a bit of a stretch, but...
No, but seriously, you sell tickets online.
Yes.
Like any other concert promoter, you're like the Harold McKay of living rooms.
Sure. Wow. Yeah.
Only all of your concerts happen as advertised.
Yes, as advertised.
Yeah. No, Harold McKay, good concert promoter.
Yeah.
How did this happen? How did this first one of these happen?
We always were in love with music and love to see live music, my husband and I. And then we bought a house that was a perfect size for house concerts. And when we renovated it, that was one of the first things we did, is invite people into our houses and our house and have a house concert, because we have two small children. We didn't want to leave the house as much as we wanted to go see music.
Oh, sure. That's one way to do it. If you can't, easier than getting babysitting is to have the band come to you.
Exactly.
But I think most people listening might think house concerts. What is that? That's a thing? What is it just a musician playing a concert in someone's house?
Yeah, it's funny. It can be anything. It goes from, we've had Old Man Ludica come and just play banjo completely acoustically, no microphones at all. And then we had a six-piece band, Soho Ghetto, play with a full PA, drums, amplified guitars and bass and keyboards. And the kids didn't wake up either time.
What?
They're really good sleepers now. So, yeah, it's and the neighbors all come, so it doesn't bother the neighbors. And, it's one of those things that it can be anything you want it to be. You define the rules with the artists. It's really good to have really great communication with the artists and ensure that everybody knows what page you're on. And then as long as everybody's cool with it, you set the ticket price and the rules and the time and everything else. And we do BYOB, so people come and bring their own wine, and sometimes they bring their own pillows to sit on.
Do you make money doing this?
No, we don't take any revenue.
Why?
It's funny, my brother who's in marketing was just here in Halifax, and he saw Jen Grant play at our house a couple of weekends ago, and he said, I don't understand why you're not taking revenue, and it's not in the spirit of it. It's not anybody I know who promotes house concerts take money from it. Mm-hmm. We see it as throwing a great party and getting the band, an extraordinary band, for free.
Well, sure. And if I mean, I'm not going to start doing this because that sounds like a lot of work, but
Heck, you'd go to one of these.
Oh, all the time.
You would definitely go. So it's like getting a free ticket, mm-hmm. and plus it's your place. Does it end up leaving a mess?
Yeah, there's a mess, but you know we're pretty good at the kids are getting into helping cleaning up. We find beer bottles all the next day, but it's fine. It's you know people are really responsible. We've only had to bounce somebody once in 9 or 10 concerts, and it was just. You know, somebody who had a little bit too much to drink, we just escorted them out to a cab, and that was fine.
So if you were renovating again, would you include, microphone snake, some cabling, PA system?
We might actually include some lighting. We find lighting is the next step, because renting a PA is no problem, but getting nice lighting. We have, you know, fairy lights and that sort of thing to set the mood, but to get some nice lighting on the stage area, which is just the bow window in our front house, it's a bit more difficult. But yeah, the concert we just had with Jen, she's an amazing performer. She's award-winning, extraordinary, internationally known performer. And to get her was a chance of a lifetime for all the people who really love her to see her in a very intimate setting and then hang out with her afterwards. And so we only advertise to our mailing list. Those are the people who get to choose the tickets first. And then only after they get a chance to say they want tickets or not, do we maybe go out to social media. But it's very low-key advertising. And so,
well, yeah, I don't even remember how I heard that you were doing this. It's not like you see a big ad in the Coast say, come to Laura's house for a concert.
Yeah, we don't advertise our address either, just because it is a, you know, it's a private
residence with
our kids in it. So we don't put our address up. But we just make it known to people who are fans, and then we find that those are the best audience members. There's no talking during the concert. People are very attentive. If you do want to go and have a conversation, people leave to the kitchen or whatever, and it's just a really nice environment to see music in a really close encounter kind of way.
Yeah, we got to wrap up in a minute, but who do you want to have play at your house?
Oh, wow.
Who you haven't had yet.
I'd love to have... Actually, Rose Cousins did backup with Jen Grant at the show. There was 5 other artists doing backup with Jen, including Rose Cousins, Tara Thorne, Don Brownrigg, Tanya Davis. They just showed up to do backup. Dave Christensen, who does all the arrangements for the Nova Scotia Symphony when they do the pop series, was there. So we'd love to have Rose. Amelia Curran is also brilliant. There's a couple like really new underground bands that nobody knows about that I wanted to start introducing.
Uh-huh.
And on July 21st, we actually have a wonderful songwriter, Andrew Sisk, who's coming from Ontario to do a matinee.
Very nice.
So if you look up Andrew Sisk and you know him, you can come to the concert.
You can find a way.
Yeah.
Hardcore fans will find a way. Laura, it's great to see you again.
You too.
I don't get to see you enough, and I hope that your concerts continue to go well.
I hope you come. Babies are welcome.
That would be fun.
Babies are welcome. We have pack and plays in the upstairs that we always put babies down in.
We've got a pack and play in our basement, too. Those things are great. Laura Simpson works for Music Nova Scotia. Get out and see some concerts. And, you may come. If you know music in Halifax, you know Laura. So give her a round of applause next time you see her. Thanks for being in.
Thanks.
That's it for Maritime Morning. We'll be back next Saturday at 9. I hope to have... No, 8! 8! We're on 8 on Saturdays. I hope to have my voice, and I hope to be fully awake because the Rush concert's the night before. Yes! Rock and roll. Thanks to Jen McNeil for being my producer and putting together a great weekend of shows. Have a safe week. Stay cool. Drink the water.